Yo, what's going on? It's your boy, Big Wavy Roy Johnson here.
Hello, everyone. This is the Interview Queen, Alicia Too.
This is the infamous Cameron Solis.
This is the professional Nathan Crew.
This is Veggie.
This is the Callahan Death Machine in the draw, and the face of Impact Wrestling, Sammy Callahan.
The one and only shot under Willie Mack.
This is Shreddy Brick, a.k.a. Mr. Clangin' and Bangin'.
And you're listening.
You
are listening to
Broken But Glorious.
Broken But Glorious.
Broken But Glorious. Hey, yeah.
Hello. And welcome to Broken But Glorious. I'm Chris Lapp, and I'm delighted to be joined by your girlfriend's favourite podcaster, Nick Davey.
Good evening.
And the Playboy Prince of Professional Wrestling, Lance Rivera.
Hello.
And the Grapple Arcade's Mark Fox.
He's my wife's favourite podcaster. Morning, how are you doing?
How are you doing, Stephen, lads?
I'm not too bad. Nick's always got to have my nickname off me, hasn't he?
Exactly. We just go together, don't we, on other podcasts. We're like a podcast tag team.
Yeah, exactly, there we go. I love it.
I'm Fandango and you're Tyler Breeze.
I'll take that. I'll happily take being Tyler Breeze any day.
It's...
Diera.
Dango. Diera.
Diera. Sounds like Vieira, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Another week of lockdown. You're surviving.
Yeah, man. Still working, still grafting. Yourselves?
Just about. It's an enjoyable experience, being locked in the house all day, working from home. I absolutely love it.
Yeah, just been doing a lot of running, sort of doing football quizzes and wrestling quizzes, playing a bit of FIFA. So you do Football Manager.
Oh, yes, there we go.
Classic football and wrestling. So yeah, getting by, trying to be positive, making a negative into a positive, I guess. And then just, yeah. But hoping it doesn't go on for too long. Hopefully after this next 3 weeks, we'll start to resume a minor bit of normality.
I can't see it. I wouldn't know just an answer for 3 weeks. In 3 weeks.
That's what I fear it will be, but hey-ho.
So it's on the football. You've started a new football podcast, I hear you.
Yeah, called Goals Allowed. Myself and a lot of the old V2 guys, so... obviously what me and Chris used to do on the football side of things on the V2. So we've got Anthony Kendrick, Richard Hero Hudson and Shane Lees. Yeah, exactly. We're a blast from the past. But no, loads of good episodes coming out soon. So if you're at a loose end and you want to listen to some podcasts, maybe not wrestling podcasts, but football, please listen. So we review a lot of the Premier League era. So we talk best goal scorers, best goalkeepers, best managers, all sorts. So yeah, I'll definitely give it a listen. We talk also football at the moment, the current situation. So what clubs are doing with sort of the furlough. We also talk lower down the divisions of how League One, League Two clubs, non-league clubs are going to survive and how we hope they will survive. So yeah, definitely give it a listen if you can.
I'll definitely be getting onto that.
Oh, yeah,
that sounds great.
Yeah, I listened to episode one when I was walking the dog last night. So it just brought back nostalgia memories of when we used to...
How it
if there isn't a Man 20... United player in every list, I'll be very disappointed.
I think there was, to be fair, because we started saying that, because I think that actually turned into a debate in itself of saying that I think most debates about top tens that has to include Man United, Arsenal or Chelsea and City, because they're the clubs that have obviously won the most and defied eras, I guess.
Yeah.
So, don't want to give too much away, but yeah.
And there's two United fans on the panel, so there's going to be United players.
Yeah, exactly. But even me, who's a firm neutral, I still tried to get my opinion of Brighton across. So I think we were debating the best strikers of all time. I think I slipped Glenn Murray's name in there. So.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
And Anthony actually took it seriously as well, which was good. So, yeah, definitely give it a listen to fans of all clubs.
When you think of those great strikers of Premier League era, you definitely think Andy Cole, Dwight York, Sergio Aguero.
They're mentioned. Glenn Murray. Murray is mentioned, yeah. He's never been relegated. He always keeps clubs up.
Well, I'll put links in the description to it.
Yeah, that'd be great if you could, and say all the viewers, it'd be nice to get some views and not more importantly get some feedback. So obviously we're starting up again after a few years out, so it'd be good to get all good feedback. And I know obviously at the moment it's quite difficult to sort of review current football. But feedback we much appreciate, or classics that we can review.
And eagle-eyed viewers or listeners may have noticed we've gone through a little bit of a rebranding this week. Firstly, our Twitter is no longer BBGW Pod; it's now BBG Wrestling, and that will be the central hub for the whole network, not just for Broken But Glorious. Our new logo was designed by Mark.
Thank you. Well, it was stolen by Mark.
Stolen by Mark.
It was kind of lifted from a wrestling year gone by.
Yeah.
Look about it. Old school fans might recognize it from the All American Wrestling logo from back in the day. So we just tweaked it around a bit. We thought it looked dope, so we nicked it. So yeah.
We're not a podcast that steals ideas, just for the record.
No, absolutely not.
Really? Well, we kind of thought we're debuting a few shows. Got the Nation of Isolation, we've got the Full of a Wrestling Radio. Turning Tuckle interviews have returned. Oliver's gone full time with ROH Review. Lance has joined us to do. He's going to do a lot more stuff with us. So it made sense to do a bit of a rebranding, just from that point of view type things. So.
It's a new era, fresh opportunity, fresh matchups.
All right. So before we get into our first topic, we've got a partnership with Powerslam.tv. You can get a month's free. Access to over 7,000 hours of content by using the promo code BROKENFREE. So it's been a week since the mass releases from WWE, and I'm sure everyone who's listening is bored to death of podcasts talking about it, so we're not going to do that. But rather than doing a straight talk about releases, we decided to each pick a promotion and then say who we think the top three top targets from the release wrestlers should be for that promotion. So, does that make sense?
Yeah.
It does indeed.
So I picked MLW. I've been watching it every week for over a year now. And looking at their roster, I think they need three things. So they need a replacement for MJF, who's recently gone to AEW full-time. They need a credible challenger for the MLW champion, Joseph Fatu, and they need some tag teams. They've got lots of factions in MLW, but I think one true tag team, and that's the tag team champions, the Von Erichs. So so I'll go with EC3 as the replacement for MJF. He's good on the mic. He'll fit into the dynasty really well with his 1% gimmick. And I think he'll fit right in that upper mid-card two main events. What MJF was occupying beforehand. Next up, a credible challenger for Joseph Fatu. Fatu's like 300-pound Samoan monster, and he's got the longest reign of any MLW world champion in history. So I'm going to go for a guy who's held titles in Ring of Honor, in NOAH, a former PWG Evolve CZW world champion, Cassius Ohno, Chris Hero. Well, Cassius Sono's dead now, he's retired. Chris Hero's back. It's come to his Twitter. So. I think he has the size.
That is best,
he has
Chris Hero, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think he'll be as jokey but now he's back on the indie scene. So, yeah. I think he has the size and the pedigree to go straight into the main event and challenge for the title. And then my tag would be Ryder and Hawkins. I think they're fun, they're colourful. The greatest face all heel, and a complete contrast with the Von Erichs, who are a good Christian boys in black trunks and a good technical style. So I think the contrast between Hawkins and Ryder and Von Erichs in a tag team title feud will be immense. So. Nick, what promotion did you go for?
So I'm going for All Elite Wrestling, AEW. I think, the three targets... I think number three, or this is in kind of no particular order. So I think it's not so much what AEW need, but it's just who I think's done very well in WWE and who I think can just do superbly well in AEW. So as I say, not so much what they need, but who can do well there. First one, Zack Ryder. Absolutely loved when he broke on the scene in 2011. With the, and to be fair, Zack Ryder's someone who back then took to sort of modern day technology of getting over by going online, making his YouTube shows and getting over. And we're talking 2011, he did that. And that's before WWE even got involved to start taking kind of the rights for his YouTube show. So yeah. I just feel like if that comes back, he could even do it before even signing for AEW, he could start doing his shows. Then you can easily build into a rivalry there, like a solid mid-card rivalry. There's obviously the AEW mid-card's very strong. There's certainly some good feuds he can get in. He can have a bit of comedy. But at the same time, Zack Ryder's a very good wrestler as well. We forget he's always had this sort of underdog tagline, and that can certainly still work in AEW. So 100% I would hope AEW can sign him up and hope that he brings that sort of broski, the broski gimmick with him. But and I think as well, Zack Ryder, he won't keep it, like, I'm not saying keep it exactly how it was in 2011. I'm sure he can adapt it to make it even more modern now to 2020 sort of thing. So 100% sign him up and put him in the mid card.
One of Cody's best mates as well.
Oh, I didn't even know that. Well, there you go. I'm sure.
I could be making out. I'm sure they're really good friends in real life. So.
Well, I think Cody is very kind of like, he doesn't seem to fall out of many people, though. This is where you both wrist off a group of people he's fallen out with. But to my knowledge, he's always been he's always been very likable and very respected in the industry, Cody Rhodes. So fingers crossed that does work out. Not to take them away from your brand there, Chris Simon Hawkins. My second one was staying with the tag team.
I always put Primo and Epico in because I forgot they were a tag team. I was like, oh, we need a tag team. I can only see one tag team. I was like, no, Hawkins and Ryder, because they weren't next to each other on the list. I was like, oh, no, where's the tag teams?
Then was Primo and Epico. What was their, they used to have, I was watching Classic Raws. I forgot they had a gimmick called the Shining Stars, where their gimmick was literally walking around handing out leaflets trying to sell holidays.
Come to Puerto Rico.
It made me quite laugh though, and they were just in backstage segments. I think like Strowman or someone was backstage, and then he'd obviously cut like a serious monster promo, and there's just two dorks trying to hand a leaflet about coming to holiday. So yeah, but there you go. That could work. Yeah, bring back the Shining Stars to MLW.
They'll be a great contrast with the Von Erichs as well. So
there you are. So I'll create a nice tag team match for you then. I've completely forgotten who was the tag team. Oh yeah, of course I couldn't forget. Tag team I'd go for AEW would be the Revival. I don't really need to go into too much detail here, do I? I think just the Revival versus the Young Bucks versus Lucha Bros just speaks volume, really. In NXT, I think, in my opinion, they're the best tag team to ever be in NXT. In my opinion, I thought their matches with American Alpha, still to this day, absolutely probably one of my favourite tag team matches of all time, as the Revival versus DIY at NXT Toronto 2016, I believe it was. Just the tag matches they can have in AEW, which has already proven to be a promotion where it takes its tag team division seriously. It provides world-class tag team matches, as we saw, obviously, at the last pay-per-view, AEW Revolution with Kenny Omega, could have gone blank.
Page.
His name. Kenny Omega and Adam Page taking on the Young Bucks was insane. My favorite tag team match in living memory. So I think the Revival can just add even more to that tag team division, and they will be taken seriously. And as I say, AEW have got no worries whatsoever that they'll get good use out of them there. And then lastly, Rusev is the number one pick. I'm going to get my shout in WrestleMania 34 when I was there in New Orleans. The most over superstar. I had to get it in. Him or Adam Cole, them two were the most over superstars all weekend. And every show we're at that was WWE based, every bar that we're into following a WWE show, it was just all Rusev Day chants everywhere we went. At the Access, when Rusev was there, when he walked out on stage, it was like one of the biggest pops I've ever heard. And that's only an Access, the Fan Access sort of show.
Yeah.
Fantastic superstar. When he first joined WWE, that undefeated sort of, I'd have him in AEW the way he kind of joined when he first came into WWE as the Monster Brute. So, and there's, again, lots of people of that size in AEW that you can have some great matches with. But I think he's proven as well he can get over, but he can also be a badass sort of heel. So loads of ways they can use him. So I would, he would be the number one wrestler I think AEW should sign. And as I say, he can come straight in. He can either be an upper mid card or even rightfully so in the main event scene. So loads of avenues you can bring him in. You could bring him in straight away into a feud with obviously the Inner Circle. You could bring him in a feud with Moxley. Loads of angles you can go down, feud with the Elite. So there's loads of ways you can bring Rusev in my opinion. So they're the
that's what
three.
I think that's what AEW need. They need some big men. So I think they're
well, they started to get there with like Lance Archer. They've got Hager. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Wardlow's proven he can do pretty well in the ring with his match with Cody. So I think more the merrier, in my opinion. And when we talk about big men, we're talking about big men who can obviously wrestle very well. And like I say, you could say that, well, there's a lot of big lads who are heels, but there's not many big lads who are faces in AEW. So there's so many avenues you could take with Rusev as well. He would also get views, wouldn't he? I mean, he's, as I say, from WrestleMania 34, most over superstar weekend. If we're talking about, 70-odd thousand, I should really know that off the top of my head. If they've got them people chatting Rusev, he's obviously doing something right. So
yeah,
I think that's got to be the number one superstar they've got to try. As much as cool as it would be to have Revival and Zack Ryder in AEW, Rusev's got to be the number one superstar that Cody and Tony Khan should be trying to get.
So unfortunately, something's come up and Marcus had to leave the call. So Lance, which promotion did you pick?
So I picked New Japan Pro Wrestling, a promotion that's very dear to my own heart, as I'm a massive, massive fan. And my three picks have got to be, so I've obviously gone with the club because you've got to have them come back. So you've got to have Carl Anderson and Luke Gallows coming back to New Japan. It just felt like an obvious pick.
Yes.
To have them rejoin the Bullet Club and everything.
Yeah.
I think that'd be an interesting story. And then one that I've gone for as well is Cassius Ohno, Chris Hero. Because obviously of his time in Noah and being in Japan, I felt like his style would just go really well going to New Japan, especially with him having such a big name and coming out of WWE once again. I think it'd be a really good location for him to go to. That's if he's not going back to Noah, but who knows what he's doing. And then my last one is a bit of a surprise. I've gone for the big man, the fabulous Rusev, because I feel like he could just be a great big man to go over there and just, I don't know, bring something a bit different, bring a nice big hoss style to it all. Me and Harry McKenney were talking recently. We were saying that how much we'd like to see Rusev take on Okada, and I think that'd be a great, great match.
Yeah, definitely. I think having Chris Hero and Rusev over there would be a great thing, because with them losing Lance Archer recently, they kind of need that big guys.
Yeah.
So
I think it would be good. So it's adding a few more Gaijins in there. I think it'd be it's always something to that's interesting. It'd be some really good matches, I think, especially people like Chris Hero going over there again and being able to work in Japan once more. And Rusev, obviously, all the great matches that he could put on over there, because he is such a solid worker. And like, people forget how quick he is, and so he can go from being a big bruiser and battering people to that quick change of pace and really coming at you full pelt.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I could see him being a huge success in Japan.
Even if he went somewhere like AEW as well, I think he'd just be able to freshen him up and he'd be able to be taken more seriously, especially how over he got in WWE.
Yeah, they should.
He's a very likable character.
Cool. So I think we've all made pretty good, solid picks for our promotions there. So we'll see who goes where.
Someone needs to hire us all.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hi, this is RWA Women's Champion Stacey Rose, and you're listening to Broken But Glorious.
All right, so it's time for the first round of a question of sports entertainment and question matchup this week. Lance versus Nick. First time ever, maybe?
Okay. Yeah, it is the first time.
I think
ever.
It is, yeah. I think it is, to be fair.
Ooh, that's going to be fun, then.
Let's see if I can redeem myself from last week.
All right, so, I will let Nick go first, because he's been question master for the last couple of weeks. Do you want to go first, second?
Is there two rounds for him?
Yes.
I'll let Lance go first in this one, then I'll take first in the next round.
Oh, he's playing it crafty.
Oh, actually, I will do that.
Okay. All right. So earlier this month, the WWE released its salaries of its employees. So I want you to name the top 10 highest paid wrestlers currently in WWE. I've not included any McMahon or Triple H in the top 10.
Do part-timers count as well?
Yes.
Like one-off appearance. Oh, okay, great. Okay. All right.
Well, so that was a yes for the part-time wrestlers. We can say them.
All right, then. Well, Brock Lesnar, then, first out.
Yes, $12 million. Got paid last year.
Jesus. Brock was going to be my one. I'll go for Roman Reigns.
Yes, number three on the list. $5
million. Randy Orton.
Yes, number four on the list, $4.5
million. I'll go for Seth Rollins.
Yes, number six, $3
million. John Cena.
Yeah, number two, $8.5 million.
He's still getting... Did he even appear like between April and April?
I have no idea, but he's still getting paid. That's all that matters.
I remember seeing people who are ridiculously low. I can't think. You said Orton, right?
Yeah.
Very, very bold shout, which is almost certainly going to be wrong. Dolph Ziggler.
He just, yeah, number 10, 1.5.
Yeah. I remember he got like a savage new contract. So
did, yeah, he got that major one, didn't he? And everyone thought he was going to get that massive push. And then he left for a week and came back at the Rumble.
So you're doing really well. Six, you got six in a row. So
AJ Styles, man.
AJ Styles, yes. Number five on the list, 3.5. Oh.
What's the score? 4-3, and is it my fourth go?
4-3, yes.
Oh, shit.
You better get it wrong.
You've got positions. Oh, seven later part... nine, you need to get them, so.
It's annoying because you said part-timers don't count, but or do count, but then you... Oh. Undertaker.
Yes, he's number eight on the list.
I was going to say, he only appears.
Yeah. All right, last go, lads, for this round.
I'm going to take a massive guess at this. Is Charlotte Flair on there?
No.
No? Whoa.
I will go for... Don't even...
Oh yeah,
Big Show.
No. All right, so the end of round one. It's 4-4. You could have also had Kevin Owens on $2 million and The Miz, $2.5 million.
Yeah,
The Miz makes sense.
Yeah, I was thinking of KO or Big Show, but
I'm surprised Charlotte's not on there. Really am.
Was those thing like recently where the women aren't getting as paid as much as they should do?
I don't know how much the women are on WWE, but that does feel a bit weird, doesn't it?
Cool. So after round one, it's 4-4. So well done, lads. So.
Yo, yo, yo. This is the SLEEZ to the Y to the E, Sleazy E here, and you're listening to the Broken but Glorious Wrestling Podcast here in the multiverse.
All right, so Money in the Bank was originally scheduled to take place at the Royal Farms Arena in Baltimore, Maryland. However, the venue has cancelled the event now due to the pandemic. So WWE announced the show's ladder matches will take place at Titan Towers in Stamford, Connecticut, in a new corporate ladder gimmick accumulating in a facility on the roof. So we've decided we're going to book a cinematic men's Money in the Bank. So, Nick, how do you see this match going?
Yeah, as I say, I'm not going to go into sort of superstars who will be in it, but you'll hear sort of some random names as I go on. But yeah, we will start in the conference room, but I'm thinking just the whole theme of the whole match will be carnage. But I'd like to see a lot of similar to the way I sort of picturing it in my head is WrestleMania 17 with the triple threat match between Big Show, Kane and Raven, where they're sort of
I love that
through.
Match. Yeah.
I loved it. Yeah, one of my favourite hardcore matches of all time. We've just
really nearly knocked the power out of the whole building.
Yeah, that the going through walls. I know the walls obviously were very thin. Like I think you could sort of put your little finger through one of them, and you'll probably have luck of making a dent or something in the walls. But that like and stuff like that. People just getting thrown through walls, through TVs, and smashing every like all sorts. Then as they sort of keep working their way up the ladders, I'd like to see then sort of just a bit like the WWF Attitude TV commercial from back in the late 90s.
Yes.
Like just people walking and sort of you see sort of workers who are still working getting launched everywhere, paper flying everywhere, people falling, like there's fires in like sort of rooms. I hope all the employees are all okay though, no one gets too hurt. That's just absolute destruction getting caused everywhere. I'd have random just like legends or just random superstars appear out of nowhere, not necessarily in the match, but just names, random names have just come out of nowhere, like Godfather, just random people just like coming out of lifts and stuff, and Ron Simmons you could hear shouting damn, so all sorts of them. And then when you do get to the top, then it's but it comes a bit more serious. We actually get back to what the match is for, and there's actually a chance to win the WWE Championship down the line. But I'm hoping right at the end there is a major, major spot. Like, not saying someone flies all the way off the building onto the floor, but just a big spot to whoever wins the match. As I said, I'm not sure who's in it or not sure who will be added to the match, but yeah, a big spot to end it. And then they're sort of just holding the briefcase overlooking on top of the building, overlooking Hartford, Connecticut, or Stamford, Connecticut, even. Sorry. getting my Connecticut. Yeah, exactly. It's still Connecticut. Overlooking Stamford, Connecticut.
Oh, cool. Sounds fun.
The theme there is, yeah, just. The good thing about these sort of matches is, like I've said on the show previously, with like when we had the WrestleMania review, is the good thing is we don't know what to expect. My knowledge has already been recorded, and no one predicted what was going to happen at the Boneyard and the Firefly Funhouse matches at WrestleMania. No one predicted them, and I think everyone was obviously all pleasantly surprised at what was thrown up. So the good thing is, whilst we can predict, I'm sure there'll be stuff that, not in our wildest dreams, it happens, which is the best thing about these sort of weird times, I guess, is the way to put it.
Yeah, definitely. That sounds lovely. So, my idea, I'd have 15 wrestlers stars in the conference room, and I'd have it so only 3 wrestlers can access the roof, so you'd have to get eliminated by pin, submission, knockout. So basically, once 12 wrestlers have been eliminated, the door to the roof unlocks and then they can make their way up. I'd have R-Truth immediately scurry off and find his way to the ventilation system, and throughout the match you'll just check in back with him for comedy purposes. That's just him scurrying around the ventilation system. So basically the cameras will follow the journeys of Daniel Bryan and Aleister Black as they're making their way through Titan Towers, so they're the protagonists of the story, one from each brand. And so I thought we could have like the biggest foes of Bryan and Black as they go onto each level. So it's like similar to the Firefight Funhouse match. So you just goes through the career-ish. They have to beat like their biggest foe.
Oh yeah, I get what you mean.
Yeah, but throughout the match, you'll have like off-screen people be getting eliminated, so you'll just have Steph McMahon's voice saying a wrestler has been eliminated. So, example, like Apollo Crews has been eliminated by Randy Orton, Rey Mysterio has been eliminated by Andrade. You'll just hear that people are being eliminated, but you don't say it's just all off-screen like it would be in a film. So you are just literally just following Black and Bryan on their journeys. So for Bryan, I'd have the Miz on the first floor, in the gym, and then AJ Styles in the warehouse, and then it'll culminate with Randy Orton in McMahon's office, maybe with the help of Triple H, so it kind of reenacts the B-plus player storyline as like a double final boss type thing. And then for Black, you could have Velveteen Dream first, because that was arguably his like breakthrough feud. It's probably his greatest feud of all time. And then Andrade, with Austin Theory and Garza, so they've been going around as a group. So it'd be quite cool. So he has to beat three guys at once to get through to the final boss, who would have as Murphy. Before he's about to beat Murphy, I'd have the AOP, Pearl Harbor him. And then eventually Black would outsmart them and by locking them in a cupboard or something. And then knock out Murphy. Oh, and then, I don't know, in this janitor's room. I don't know. It's just imagine. And then Steph will say, only three fighters remain. Make your way to the roof. And then bloody and battered, Brian and Black will make their way to the roof. And they'll have a great match. And Black will win the briefcase eventually. And the show would end with R-Truth just still trapped in the vents, being comedy as it goes off the air.
It just reminds me of the Warriors. Yeah. Absolute vibes of just the Warriors. I like to think that Andrade Theory would just be going around going, Alistair, come out to play. Looking for him.
That's what I'd like. I'd like it just to be a completely nothing like the Money the Bank has ever been before. But you're following the two good guys, so you kind of they're playing like you. What do you want to do, Lance?
What I want to do is I just want a full recreation of the old WWF advert from back in the day. And if someone does not get thrown off of the roof, I'm going to be highly disappointed. I don't care everyone going, I hope no one gets thrown off the roof. If someone doesn't get thrown off the roof and Vince McMahon turns to the camera and announces the winner, I will be gutted.
Even if, Cronky, wow. It's like an old wrestling game.
Yeah, it'd be great. They did it in the advert. They can do it again. Titan Towers was built for this. I feel like this is the only reason Vince McMahon had Titan Towers, was just so he could throw wrestlers off it.
Do you have an idea if he'd be in the match or just...
To be honest, I didn't really think that far ahead, but I really wanted Buddy Murphy to be in the match, and then I saw him lose to Rey Mysterio on Raw and I was a little bit gutted because I really wanted Buddy Murphy to win.
Yeah.
The other person that I really want to win would be Dolph Ziggler, but I want Dolph Ziggler to win everything because he's been my favourite since about 2012 when he won the heavyweight title.
Mm-hmm.
When he cashed in.
That's great, man.
That was class.
Let's go, let's Dolph. And so if I want anyone to win, I want him to win it. And it just him being wrestling Otis on the roof and he throws Otis off the roof. That's the finish to my Money in the Bank ladder match. Oh, Mandy sense. Rose crying as Otis gets thrown off the roof and Vince McMahon laughing.
You're fired.
And then you can have the amazing part, because Dolph doesn't even need to keep hold of the Money in the Bank briefcase. You could even have Otis come back and beat him. And you can have a whole like Joey Ryan coming back from the dead kind of thing.
Yeah, that'd be hilarious.
Like when he came back and beat up Adam Page.
That when he had the Vic Jones.
Yes.
Yeah. That's hilarious.
Jesus.
I think they're really good ideas. That's the
universal title off the feed.
All I'm picturing is just the rest of the classic wrestling games. Like, it's how best they used to be, where you literally would throw people off the Hell in a Cell and they would like bounce about four times on the floor.
I tell you, if this version of the Money in the Bank isn't in the next WWE game, I'm going to be absolutely fuming.
I hope we see like they have all the names actually up on like the network, like, you know, you just have on the wrestling game, so it has all the competitors, and then like you see how like
their body
their body turns red and stuff, and they're like getting absolutely destroyed. They go to like a red
Yes, that'd be hilarious.
I want the old Here Comes the Pain music in the background where it's like, do, 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 do,
do. Hopefully they should put like one of the, like, they should go like have Taz on commentary, but also have Taz in the match. I know Taz is AEW, but you can do it with someone else.
Does anyone remember playing the old games like SmackDown vs. Raw 2009 where JBL was on commentary and then if you had JBL in the match, you'd be talking about, let's watch this amazing match with me in it and then talking in third person.
Oh, it's brilliant. Yeah, like there's Taz as well and Taz was just bring it when Taz would commentate on Taz matches. It was it was fantastic. Taz looked great the other day.
But it wasn't just that. It was Taz looked great the other day. It was the change in tones, like you could tell they'd recorded it like 6 days apart.
The people's elbow, the people's elbow.
They just sounded like they had no enthusiasm for being there. Michael Cole was over the top and Taz was just like, the people's elbow, the people's elbow. Rock back, bottom, though. Rock bottom.
Still need to bring it back, in my opinion.
Yeah, they need to make the commentary on the more recent games a lot better than it is at the moment. It's awful at the moment. They don't even call the moves right at the moment. So.
We say this, but I was watching Bulldog versus Bret Hart in preparation for this. That's spoilers for later. But Bret Hart gave Bulldog an atomic drop, and Vince McMahon just turns around and goes, "Look at that reverse pile driver." And I just sat there and was like, sorry, what?
That's why he called everyone a manoeuvre, because he didn't know the names of anything. So he said, what a manoeuvre. What a fantastic manoeuvre.
That. When he said reverse pile driver, I was looking away for a second, and I came back and was like, where does that fit in?
Isn't that Tombstone or a reverse pile driver? I'm trying to think what a reverse pile driver would be.
I don't know. It just took me by surprise, but forever now I'm going to call an atomic drop a reverse pile driver.
Hello everyone, this is the interview queen Alicia Too, and you're listening to me on Broken But Glorious.
Alright, so it's time for the final round of Question of Sports Entertainment. So the scores from the first round is 4-4. So this week in 2006, Vince McMahon made the decision to bring back ECW 5 years after the promotion folded as a third brand. So I just want you to name wrestlers who wrestled on the first episode of ECW on Sci-Fi.
Okay.
It's me to go first, right?
Yes.
Okay, I would go for... I'm trying to think of his nicknames. He's got loads of nicknames. Mr. Rob Van Dam.
No, he didn't. What? He didn't wrestle. He appeared on the show, but he didn't wrestle on the show. It's when he received the CW title.
Fuck's sake!
I believe Kurt Angle wrestled on the first episode.
He did, yes.
I can't think for the life of me. Sabu.
Yes.
Was Sandman on the first episode?
He was in the first match.
There we go.
Plus, no, he's against. It's a legendary match. This everybody's favorite.
Yeah,
match.
I thought so.
Tommy Dreamer.
Yes.
The zombie.
Yes.
Right. What's the score?
3-2 to Lance. You got two more guys.
Two more guys, right, okay. I don't know if he wrestled on the show. Big Show?
Yes. 3-0.
Just Incredible.
Yes, he faced Kurt Angle, yeah. Velasco, Dick. So.
Yeah, I'm running out of names. Rey Mysterio?
No.
No.
All right, so congratulations, Lance. You won.
Yes! Boo. Oh, buzz it. Oh, I'm used to that. Your boos mean nothing to me.
Oh, I forgot you're a heel.
Yeah, so,
to quote Rick from Rick and Morty, I've seen what makes you people cheer, and your boos mean nothing to me.
So the card was the zombie versus the Sandman, and Kurt Angle versus Just Incredible, and then there was a 10-man rumble with the winner would face John Cena at Vengeance, I think.
Oh. So,
Sabu won the battle royal, and it also had Tommy Dreamer, Roadkill, Danny Durling, Stevie Richards, Al Snow, Little Greedo, Tony Marmaluke, Balls Mahoney, and The Big Show in it.
Balls Mahoney, yeah, I should have got that.
That was my next guess.
Balls.
Congratulations to Lance.
Yeah, well done, mate.
To be fair, this is the part where I usually shout number one, but I don't really want to shout down my microphone that loudly and have you edit something like that. I'm not going to be that much of a heel.
This is Benji from the Land of Gentry, and if you've got any class, you'd be listening to Broken But Glorious.
Right, so it's time for the BBG Big Debate. So last week we asked what was the most surprising cameo in film, and here are the results. So in last place was Lance's Big Show and the Waterboy, 16%. So Lance, you get to go first. You get to pick the first answer for this week's debate. So that means that it was me, 63%. I won Macho Man and Spider-Man, so I get to pick this week's debate. So, this week, well, today, well, sorry, got tickly throat. Right, so the debate this week, as it's International Bulldogs Are Beautiful Day, I've decided to go for Best British Bulldog Match or Moment. So, if it's the first time you've ever heard our debate, so we basically pick a topic, we have a minute-ish each to say why yours should win, and then as soon as the show's up, I'll put a poll on Twitter. And the winner of the poll will pick next week's debate. So our Twitter is BBG Wrestling, no longer BBGW Pod. It's BBG Wrestling. So, Lance, as you came last, who did you
pick? I'm going to go with the most obvious one, and I kind of preluded to it a bit earlier on. It has to be Bret Hart versus the Bulldog at Wembley Stadium at SummerSlam 92. As a wrestler myself, walking out at Wembley to everyone cheering you to against WWF's at the time biggest babyface, you have to be like, wow. That is one of the most, like, it'd be the dream to walk out at Wembley, where England won the World Cup, where Man United have won the FA Cup and many other matches at Wembley. Like, just to walk out there to wrestle for the Intercontinental title, it just blows my mind, and just on the basis of that alone, it has to be Bulldog's greatest moment.
Okay, Nick?
I'll go for an absolute classic wrestling match. 1996, King of the Ring, the Bulldog versus Shawn Michaels. I mean, I could go on and on and on, but all I need to say is simply watch it on the network. An absolute unmissable match. It really does justify both men's careers, in my opinion. Bulldog, we know about all his classics. Lance obviously mentioned one. He's had many in his career. Shawn Michaels, obviously, probably in my opinion, the best ever in-ring performer of all time in WWE. And this is just well up there. If he was to obviously ever pick a certain match, this would certainly be up there for sure. Again, the King of the Ring, one of my favourite pay-per-views, which needs to come back. This was a fantastic match for it. Again, I could go on and on and on, but simply make sure you do check it out on the WWE Network, because it is a fantastic match for both wrestlers, and I don't think we'll ever see a sort of classic quite like this ever again, in my opinion.
Cool. I've gone for the Battle Royal at the Albert Hall. An event that took place in October 91. So the show was main evented by a 20-man Battle Royal, with the winners getting a prestigious, in inverted commas, Royal Salivar Trophy. The way they put prestigious on something. What was prestigious recently, which was not prestigious?
The Greatest Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
Oh, the best in the world.
Jelly Mold, the Undertaker one.
Oh my god, that one.
The best in the world.
The Quatar Trophy, was it? The Quatar Mountain Trophy or something.
it was some mountain trophy, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it's similar to that. It was prestigious in the way that WWE just wants you to think. I think it was really like a silver Russian teapot. I'm not sure. That's what it looked like. All right, so, of course, the British Bulldog won this match, and I think it's the most important moment of his career because he left the company as a tag team wrestler in 1998. He went around Stampede and All Japan before returning to WWF in 1990. When he returned, he quickly established himself as a mid-carder, but I think winning this match showed the company had faith in him, that he no longer saw him as a member of the British Bulldogs. He's his own man, and now he was ready to get that upper mid-card main event level push. So after this, he had a good feud with Mr. Perfect. He headlined European tours. He had that main event at SummerSlam 92 where he won the title. So without this happening, he wouldn't have had that main event at 92. He wouldn't have had that championship match in 96. Against King of the Ring, so yeah, mine's the best choice.
Just because it came first.
It's the most important bit of his career. Some of our Twitter followers have also said their favourite moments. So we've got this awesome chick says Bret Hart and Davey at SummerSlam, nothing better.
Woo! There we go. She gets it.
Ringside Review said, I'll give some love to Davey versus Bret Hart at In Your House 5. Oh, absolute classic.
Yeah, he's on my side. That's great.
Mike Dowell said, Bret Hart at Wembley Stadium.
Whee!
Stephen Jackson said he loved his match against Owen Hart on Raw in Germany, where he won the European Championship. Then Tyson Kidd replied to that tweet saying that match absolutely blew him away. Which is amazing.
I saw that match on the Raw Greatest. Do you know the 25th anniversary Raw DVD that came out years and years ago?
Yes.
I remember sitting there. I was very, very ill as a boy. I was off school. And I was watching that match, and it blew me away as well.
It was a brilliant match. I remember it. Peter Walker said, obviously SummerSlam, but I remember shitting myself when Repo Man left him hanging on Superstars. The Big Show and said Royal Rumble 95 because he thought he had won. Oh, so did I. I remember staying up late to watch that. So. Willie Wilson says One Night Only 1997. Imagine Willie being Wolf. A 12-year-old Willie Wilson.
Great name.
He said, I was there live. Imagine being an English 12-year-old me. All excited the British Bulldog defeats the European Championship on home soil or not. Heartbreak.
I'd be crying if I was there.
Yeah.
Crying my little eyes out. As a 12-year-old boy there. You'd be absolutely gutted, wouldn't you?
Yeah, definitely. The BCC Wrestling Podcast said singles is SummerSlam 92, but overall my favourite match is the Calgary Stampede. An incredible match. And then Peter Prickett just says SummerSlam, so assuming he means the 92 match.
I feel like we may have a winner here.
All right, huge thanks to all our followers for tweeting us their suggestions. All right, so your choices in our poll are it's SummerSlam 92, it's his WWF title match against Shawn Michaels at King of the Ring 96, and winning the Battle Royal at the Royal Albert Hall in 1991. So as soon as the show goes out, head over to our Twitter. At lunchtime on Friday, we'll announce the winner for next week's show. So before we go, do you want to promote your T-shirts, Lance?
So you can get Lance Rivera T-shirts, the Playboy Pleasure T-shirts. It looks very similar, but is not entirely the same as the Joy Division's Unknown Pleasures album.
Yes.
Just to make sure. It is not the same.
Love will tear us apart again.
You can find these at all good merchandise stores when shows return, but you can also find them right now at lancheverra12.bigcartel.com.
That's really over 11 Lance Rivera's. Do you have to pick 12?
You what?
Is there another 11 Lance Rivera's?
Oh, I don't have a clue. 12's my lucky number, and it just wouldn't accept Lance Rivera, Playboy Prince, or anything like that. So I just went, 12, it'll do.
All right, so we've got plenty of interviews coming up in the next couple of weeks. We released my interview with Sim Bodhi, formerly Kazani in WWE, last Friday. Really interesting chat. He's so passionate about his promotion, Freak Show Wrestling. Mark and Pablo released an interview of Macho Man's brother, Lanny Poffo, last week. That's a really good interview as well. I'd recommend you all go watch that. This Friday, I'm releasing two interviews. Firstly, Lance's manager and fellow frontline member, Stacey Rose.
Woo! Stacey!
And then I've got a really interesting guy. He's a wrestler, he's a deathmatch wrestler, he's a referee, he's a ring announcer. He does the in-ring segments, he does his own talk show on the wrestling shows he's on, and the musician, Sleazy E. Really nice guy, really fun chat to him. If you love our show, head over to Twitter, BBG Wrestling, and check out our website, bbgwrestling.com. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.